Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we have with us two fabulous guests, and our topic is again a continuation on Geirus. There are those that say that we're too strict. There are those that say we're not. We have Rabbi David Stav. He was the runner-up to be the Rav Harashi of Eretz Yisrael. He lost to Rabbi Lau, but a very well-respected Rav, and he runs an organization called Soar, which is dedicated to Geirus. And we will also have a Rav HaGoyin, Reb Nachum Eisenstein, who was the Mishamish B'Kodesh by Reb Yashiv. I remember him well from the Nuri Yeshiv. He was a big Talmud of Reb Nachum Zochanan Levracha. And he's the Rosh of the Beis Din of Gir, which was under the auspices of Reb Yashiv. A fabulous conversation. You'll hear Rabbi Stav, who's very pro being Makariv, being kind. Rabbi Eisenstein says most of those don't remain religious almost immediately. In fact, and this is my tongue-in-cheek saying, he's going to say that it's after the Geirus, it's just Vayis Halchu, Migoy El Goy. Okay. You can listen to us Matzah Shabbos, 11 to 12 midnight, on WMCA at 570 a.m. or WMCA.com or on the Nachum Segal Network. We are on again 11 a.m. on the Nachum Segal Network. You can always get all our shows at headlinesbook.com under the audio or podcast section or on iTunes. We also have a hotline, 732-806-8700. And as always, you can send any questions or comments to info@headlinesbook.com. I want to put in a plug something. You know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot are coming up. And a number of years ago, 2 years ago, or actually came out a year ago, I published a sefer called Mishnah Achrayna. It's on the Mishnah Berurah, Chelik Vav, which has all to do with these Yom Tovim. And it's the best Mishnah Berurah you have ever seen. And I give you, to my listeners, if you go out and buy it, a money-back guarantee. You don't like it, you send it back, full refund, which other sefer can never do that. It is the best. When you look through Shifer, it has all the incredible, the different opinions. You know, it's in Hebrew, it's in Lashon Kodesh, but on the bottom, all the shitas in Shifer, in Lulav, Esrig, not only the shitas, but with color pictures, something that's never been done before. I printed 3,000 copies. There are still a few remaining. If you go to your local farm store, you will still may be able to get one. If not, Be'ezer Hashem, we will be reprinting it. Before we go to our program, I would like to say a small word on the Yamim Narayim. I don't know about you, but for me, every time this time of year comes, you know, even the fish in the... Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, even the fish in the lake start to quake with fear. Yamim Narayim. But I think there's a part of Rosh Hashanah that's overlooked. If you look at Tefillah, it's mostly about love. Beautiful. Uvechein ten kavod Hashem la'amecha. Uvechein yiskadesh Hashem lekein ol Yisrael la'amecha. Sanctify yourself on us. Ten kavod tehila li'reyecha. Sikva toiva l'darshecha. Simcha li'artzecha. You know, the Prichadash in Shulchan Aruch and Tavkuf Pe'alav says, the Pasuk says about Rosh Hashanah, Pasuk in Nechemya, it was a day to send gifts to others. Mishloach manais la'ein nachin lai. So the Prichadash says, I send gifts erev Rosh Hashanah. Because when you think of it, the whole concept of Briyas Olam was an act of Olam Chesed Yibana. It was an act of great love on God's part, on Kaviyachal's part. He didn't need me. He didn't need this whole mess we live in this world we live in. It was an act of love. It was an act of trust. It was an act of faith in humankind, in us, mostly in Klal Yisrael, that we would be able to be Mamlechen and make a Kiddush Hashem. So it was an act of love. Every year, when the same debate comes about, Yivra, Al Yivra, Rosh Hashanah, it's again an act of love. So it's true. When we come to the king's palace, the God's palace, it's a day of trepidation, but it's also a day of great honor. Remember, the opposite of love, Eli Wiesel said, it isn't hate, it's indifference, it's apathy. When people fight, when you fight with your child, with your, it means that we have a real relationship. We have a difference. We see things differently, but when we're indifferent, when we just don't care anymore, that's the worst thing. We've never had a relationship of indifference. It's always been a fiery relationship. I was walking years ago in the someplace, I don't remember call where it was, and there was a little child, little three-year-old girl walking with her mother, and the little child bolted away from her mother and jumped into the gutter. The mother was very upset, grabbed the child, and gave her a smack on her hands. And this little girl, blonde curls and all, started to howl. Her face turned red. She was mad. She was insulted. She was hurt. And the mother squatted on the down, opened up her arms, and the little girl ran back into the very arms of the mother who really loved her so much and therefore hit her. So, Rosh Hashanah, it's truly a day of awe, but it's mostly a day of love. Before we go to our guests, I'm going to play a small clip, beautiful, V'chein Tein Kavod La'amecha, beautiful piece of Nusach, and it's a 2.5-minute piece, and then we will go to our fabulous guests. I wish all of our listeners, all of us together, we should be benched with a Ksiva, Ksima, Taiva, Psech, Shara, Cheinu, Kolbeis, Yisrael, Kultav.
David Stav, who's the Rav HaRashi of the city of Shoham, and he's also the chairman of Tzohar. He's a musmach of Yeshivas Merkez HaRav, and has received smicha from the Rabbanut of Eretz Yisrael, which is perhaps the hardest smicha in the world to get. It's a multi-year program. I'm proud to say that my son-in-law, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, has already spent almost 3 years going for this. It was certainly a very complicated smicha. He's frequently on the radio. He has a weekly newspaper column, and he's one of the best-known rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Welcome, Rav Stav.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Rav Stav. Could you tell us a little bit about Tzohar and its position on Geirus? Because that's really the topic of this week's program is Geirus.
Well, I think that when we talk about Gerut, we have to realize what is the current situation in Eretz Israel. We have currently in Israel more than 400,000 immigrants that have arrived to Eretz Israel from former Soviet Union, primarily people that their fathers are Jewish, but the mothers are not Jewish. Every year, we have about 5,000 minors that are getting born, that are born in Israel to non-Jewish couples, which means that one of the parents is not Jewish, the father is not Jewish, mainly. And actually, we face a situation in Eretz Israel where we always thought that there will be no intermarriage because there is no way to get married to somebody that is not Jewish, that in Israel, actually, thousands of couples are getting married with non-Jewish spouses. And this should concern all of us. Because of that, and since we are talking and we're dealing with people that are not completely strangers to the Jewish people, but they come from Jewish roots, primarily from the fathers that are Jewish, that we should be as much flexible to ease them, the process of conversion, in a way that they will be able to build the Jewish home in the land of Israel. So when I say to be as flexible as possible, I mainly focus on two issues. One issue is the conversion of minors. Halachically speaking, the idea of converting minors does not require all the hard and heavy process of converting adults.
Right, Ger Katan not Bilonaisi al Das Bezdin. There's no Kabbalah mitzvahs at all, and the Rishonim say, because it's impossible. They're minors, they can't.
They don't have mind. They cannot accept the thing. But we assume that it's a privilege. What the Gemara says is, Zachim le'adam shelo befanav, which means it's a privilege to be Jewish. Now, there is a debate about among the rabbis whether it's a schus, it's a privilege to be Jewish, if you assume that a big chance that it will not be observant in the future. There are rabbis that maintain that it's not considered a schus for him, it's not a privilege for him. Other rabbis believe that it is a privilege to be Jewish, even though it will not be completely frum, such as Rav Moshe Feinstein and others. I believe that this debate is right in America or in Europe. In Israel, there is no doubt that it's a schus because of two huge differences. Number one, because here he will grow up in a Jewish society, in Jewish environment. There's no doubt that the kid wants to be like his friend. He wants to have a bris like his friend. He wants to look like his friend. And he wants to be Jewish. That's number one. Number two, the chances that he will be frum are much higher than in the States because he grows in a society where usually in traditional homes. But in addition to that, we added another condition that he will learn in a religious high school, which means that there are even more chances that it will be observant in the future. So therefore, we are very much pushing and we are very much in favor to encourage minors to convert. So that's one thing that Zohar pushes very strongly, and we try to promote this. The second issue is the approach to the convert. I don't think that there is needed a different halachic policy towards the essence of the conversion of the adults. But there is a need for a change in the approach. In previous generations, there were a lot of halachot that referred to the way we treat the convert, to our approach to the convert. We tried to push him away, go and come and come and go. And many times, because he wanted to check how much he's sincere, how much he's serious in his intention to become Jewish. Again, we are dealing with people that are basically, in their knowledge, in their awareness, they are Jews. In the first time in their lives they discovered that they are not Jews is that when they arrived to Israel. When they were in Russia, the Goyim called them Jid and refer to them as Jewish people. All of a sudden, because the goyim didn't hear the halacha that the father is not the one that creates the halachic identity. That is koveya, and they thought that the father is koveya. They didn't know that in the halacha the mother is koveya, is deciding, is establishing the status of the personal status of the man or woman that are born. They grew up in a understanding that they are Jews. All of a sudden they discovered that they are not Jewish, halachically. So there is no doubt that we should encourage them to convert. And we should be
friends. Let me just give a little explanation. The Rambam Lamashal says in Hilchos Issuri Biya, he says, when a ger comes, you say, you're supposed to tell him, Daj, Yisrael, Dchuyim, Schufim, that the Klal Yisrael is despised and pained by the Umayyad Ha'olam. And you're saying that the reason they're coming to Israel is because they're escaping areas that were hostile to them for the most part. Is that what you're saying, Rabbi Stav?
Exactly, but much further than that. They know already what is the approach of Gentiles to Jews. They suffered from this. That's number one. But number two, if you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam doesn't say that we try to push them back or we try to tell them how hard it's to be Jewish. The opposite. You see that the Rambam says we teach them mitzvot. Modi'im otam miktzat mitzvot. And the Rambam emphasizes what are the mitzvot that we teach them. We teach them the mitzvot of matnos aniyim, the gifts that we should give to the poor people. We don't have to teach them the hardest halachas in Hilchot Tznius. The halachas of matnos aniyim, the gifts that we ought to give to poor people, shows the beauty of Torah, doesn't show the problems of Torah or the challenges of Torah. But it's even more than that. I'm not saying that we should not tell them what is written in the Torah. They should know everything about what is written in the Torah. But the question is, should we try to give them a hard time? Or should we be with ma'or panim, with faces that smile to them, encourage them, tell them that they will not be alone, even if it will be difficult, but their parents experienced that, their forefathers experienced that, and there is no reason to be afraid of it. To observe Shabbat is not only something that we should fear from, but it's also, there is an Onik Shabbat. It's not only Shamor, but there is Zachor.
Rabbi Stav, the Rambam continues, Ukashem Shamodian I say Einshin Shal Mitzvahs, just like you tell him the punishment, Kach Modian I say Matan Schar, and you tell him the tribute, the benefit, Imrim Lai Havi Yedeya Shailam Haboy, Nayasi Elulat Sadikim, you know that Olam Haba is only for the righteous, for Yisrael Bazman Hazeh, Einim Yechal Mekabel, Lerov Tov of Lerov, Vein Mar Ben Olav, Ein Medagdikin. You tell him about Olam Haba, you speak to him. So the Rambam says, you tell him both sides of the coin, the difficulty of the oppression of the Jewish people, but also the schar that the faithful will receive. So the Rambam clearly talks about, you also show him some of the Ma'or Panim of Yadav.
No doubt about that. And the Rambam emphasized that, Lo marbim alav ve lo medaktikim alav. You don't give him a hard time. I mean, people think that the traditional approach to convert is to push them away for 5 years. There is no such halacha in the Rambam.
There's no makor for that.
There is no makor for that. Now, I'm not saying...
But additionally, I would say more than that. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he talks about the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, talks about the concept of being bringing the entire world ultimately to faith, right? And it's mitzvah gimel in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, right?
Exactly, and there are Rishonim that say that mitzvat ve'ahavta et ager is referring not only when he converted already, but when he also wants to convert. But you know, if we are talking a bit in Lomdish, I will give you a beautiful idea from Zeran that I've never seen it quoted in other places, but let me add it to you. You know, there is a big issue. What are the topics that rabbinic judges are entitled to deal with Bazman Hazeh? Because since we have no Mismochim, there are no authorized Dayonim. So there is but where
right.
Do we do Shlichusayu? We are the messengers, the Shlichim of the previous generations when it comes to something that is happening very often. And
v'shchiach v'shchiach. Right.
Exactly. And something that there is a chesron kiss. Somebody lent money to his friend and he doesn't give him back. It is something that refers, that applies to chesron kiss. Somebody is losing money, so then the dayanim ought to deal with this. But the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim in Kiddushin, asks, okay, I understand this, but how do we deal with Geirus? It doesn't sit under the definitions of Shechicha and not under the definition of Chesron Kis. There is no loss of money. And then he says, he adds something which is so beautiful. He says, the fact that we could bring people Tachas Kanfer Shechina, Tachas Kanfer Shechina is equal, if not more, is like Chesron Kis. It's much more than Chesron.
Yeah, the Ran is in Gittin on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis and the Daf Hei Harif.
Oh.
Daf Hei Harif, yeah. Continue, I'm sorry, yeah.
So it's a beautiful Ran, isn't it?
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. Is the controversy about showing them a Ma'or Panim or about Kabbalat HaMitzvot? Like, what is your opinion about, do we need a complete, because we've had, let's say, Rabbanim here on our show, Rabbi Eisenstein, he said, most of the Geirim that are done, or many of the Geirim, a week later they're being Mechal Shabbos. And there's no real Kabbalat Mitzvot, there's no real Kabbalah Samitzvot. What is your view on that?
I will say that I think he is right. And I will say, but what issue is he wrong? He's right about the regular converts, that converts in the age of 20, 22, 24 in the army. I think he's right in most of the cases. And I think one of the reasons for that is because of the approach that is suspecting, that is pushing away, and never showed the Ma'or Panim of the Torah. And so I think he's right in the analyzing the results of the current situation. He's wrong in analyzing the reasons for that. He's wrong also referring to the minors. I could tell you that in our minors, in our Batei Din, independent Batei Din for conversions for minors, I could tell you that the vast majority of them, a week and a month and 2 months and 3 months afterwards, they observe Shabbat, they observe Kashrut, they send their kids to religious elementary schools. We see the results and we see how the Ma'or Panim affects also a change in the entire family. I think the main problem is not in the issue of Kabbalat Mitzvot, and the reason for the results that Rabbi Eisenstein is describing is because of the fact that the candidates for conversion feel so disgraced. They feel so offended by the messengers. It's not only by the Dayanim. Let me share with you a story. A girl, she was 17 years old. She learned in a religious ulpana. 17 years old. She passed all the exams in the rabbinic courts for conversion. And she impressed the three judges. She impressed them very much. The truth was that she was from, really from. And then, one of the dayanim asked her, I have one more question. Do you know how to kasher flesh? So she said yes, and she explained how you kasher, how you put salt, wash it before, wash it afterwards. And then he asked her, how do you know that? So she answered, she went with her mother to a supermarket, and she bought such a piece of meat, and her mother taught her how to do that. And so the dayan said, you are a liar. It's impossible to find non-kashered pieces of meat in supermarket. The truth is that in most places you will not be able to find non-kashered meat, but there are places that you could find. Well, this dayan told me that story and was very proud of himself. He said, you see, we did not bring in a girl that is a liar. So there were the few people who said to him, look, number one, there are places, you are wrong. you don't have any evidence that she lied. Could be that she was saying the truth. But number two, let's say you are right. She lied. Now tell me, who asked you, who gave you the stupid idea to bring that girl to a situation that she will have to lie to you? You say yourself that you were impressed by her. She learns in a religious opener. What else do you want for her? Why do you drive her crazy with such stupid questions? How many frum girls? Exactly. How many frum girls? If you ask my daughter, let me tell you something. I have a daughter, 17 years old. She learns in one of the best ulpanot in Israel.
And she would not know how to kashamit.
How could you know?
Rabbi Stav, I have news for you. 50%.
Was a stupid question. And if you ask me, one of the reasons why Rabbi Eisenstein is right in the result is because of the approach to the converts in the beginning. And they listened to me, and they adopted my views. They would tell them, take all the candidates for conversion. Don't bother them not with how you kashamit and how, what brocha do you make on olives mixed with cheese. Please pass them through a seminar that will be a tshuva seminar, like Arachim, like other Haredi institutions for Balei Tshuva. Teach them the beauty of Yiddishkeit. Teach them the principles of Jewish faith. Teach them all the things that we should be proud of about our Judaism, and let them want to be Jewish. Let them want to be observant. And in this way, after the final conclusion will be that they will be observant because...
Let me ask you a few questions, Rabbi Stav. Do you believe that Kabbalah's HaMitzvahs is Ma'akev in Geirus?
No doubt in that.
So in other words, like the Shulchan Aruch, Taisfis, and the Rosh, etc., And you believe that if somebody's makabel mitzvahs chutz midav arecha, like the Gemara says in Bechairis, that it creates real problems with a gear?
No question. But I have to add to this something that Moshe Feinstein writes. I would not be honest if I won't complete one sentence to your question.
And you should add the Achiezer too while you read it. Yeah.
Of course. I could not say... When I say Kabbalah's mitzvahs, I really mean it. Every convert has to know that he accepts upon himself Kabbalah's mitzvot. But as you know, if someone goes to the Tilumi community, or to Haredi community, or to other communities, and he will see people that behave in a certain way, and he will understand that this is what considered to be frum. For instance, she will not cover the head. I could not tell somebody that sees that all the wives, all the women in her neighborhood don't cover the head, and tell her, how come you don't cover the head? So I have to differentiate between the fundamental Kabbalah's own Torah mitzvot and the custom that she sees in the community that she's surrounded by. I didn't hear it from him, but I heard it from somebody that maintained that he heard it from him, that Rav Eliashiv was asked once, and he said, we have to make sure that he observes Shabbat, Kashrut, and Taras HaMishpacha. Now, since we all understand that Rav Eliashiv didn't think that he didn't disagree with the Gemara that says if somebody accepts upon himself all Torah mitzvot except for one thing, afilu midivrei sofrim, it's not a conversion. So we understand that Rav Eliashiv also knew that. But when he said when you are mekabel somebody to the system, it's one thing that we know that he begins the process. And there is a second thing, if he says, well, I'm accepting, but this and this, I'm telling you in advance, I'm rejecting. This, if somebody, the first thing he says, I'm rejecting one of the mitzvot, so he could not be a part of. From what I see, the converts understand exactly what does it mean to be mekabel Torah mitzvot. They understand exactly what is written. I'm not telling you that always they will observe everything. As the Tosfos says in Shabbos about Hillel, that said to the convert, that when he stood on one foot, that the entire Torah is based on Mashe Sano Alecha, Lo Taseh Lechavercha. And Tosfos asks the, what about mitzvahs? And Tosfos says that Hillel assumed that he will continue the process, and in the end of the process, it will be a complete observance. So I believe that this basically is the process that we should bring the converts through.
So what is the... There's a tremendous controversy in Israel that us in America are really not on top of. What is the controversy? Could you put it out in a paragraph? We believe this, they believe this, this is our difference. And is it just about Ma'or Panim? Is that the disagreement?
I think the disagreement is referring to two issues. Number one, Ma'or Panim. Number two, Minos.
Uh-huh.
What we said before. We believe that had we converted the Minos 10 years ago, there was no problem already. Now it's a bit late, but yet we could save the future of the Jewish people in the next generation in Israel. And our opponents believe that this is a mistake.
So, Rabbi Stav, when you have a minor who you're being megayer, and let's say the father or the mother...
of the families that come to us, keep already kosher homes. Why do they want to convert the kids? They know that today it's even not recognized. So why do they want? They want the kids to be Jewish because they feel Jewish. And they live traditional life. Now, I know it's hard to say it, but I guess in America, maybe you understand it better than in Israel, that you could be an Orthodox man that unfortunately you fell in love with a non-Jewish woman in the university, in other places, but you still belong to a community, you run kosher home, you cannot stand your desire to live with that woman, and she doesn't want to convert. But yet, you convinced her that you want your kids to be Jewish and you want them to go to Jewish school and to religious schools. As a matter of fact, you could see thousands of people like this in Israel. And the truth is that you will see thousands of this like this in America. I personally met people that insisted their wife got converted conservative or reform or not at all, but they insisted that the kids will go through an Orthodox conversion, then they wanted the kids to be sent to Orthodox school. So, do we want to push them away? That's the question.
Rabbi Stav, it's been an honor to have you. Thank you very much. And aktiva v'chatzima tova, aktiva v'chatzima tova.
You're very welcome. A good year, a gebenched year to all Jews all over the world.
Thank you very much. We have the honor of having with us on the phone Harav HaGoyin, Rav Nachum Eisenstein. He's the head of the Vad HaRabbanim L'Inyonei Gir. He was appointed by Mireinu Rabbi Yashiv Zecheinu Levracha, and he's also the Rav of Malo Tafna. Welcome, Rav Nachum.
Welcome, Shalom Aleichem, and welcome to you and to all the listeners.
So, Rav Nachum, we had on the phone the head of Tzohar, Rav Stav, and he was saying that he believes in Kabbalah's mitzvahs and the entire Shulchan Aruch, and they do everything kahalacha. He says that there's a difference. He believes that the Rabbanut has become too stringent, and they're sort of looking for gotchas, you know, ways to chap a ger, and he says that's not the intention. The intention was, you know, like the Rambam says, Ein Maisifin, Ein Medagdikim. And I know that you're an Eretz Yisrael, like the expert on Geiris, and we'd love to hear your opinion.
Okay. My opinion is, not only is that the Geiris or the standards of Geiris from Tzohar are not acceptable, but unfortunately, we have a lot to say about the Rabbanut Geiris. What we have to say about them, and this is also in the days of Rav Yosef, things haven't changed, that 90%, or almost 90%, it depends which part of the Rabbanut, but for sure, more than half of the Geirim who do Geiris in the Rabbanut, or other Bati Din, which don't meet the proper standards, they don't observe the first Shabbos properly. So it makes no difference. This one says you have to ask Kabbalah's message if you're medactic, not medactic. Let's look what's going on. What's going on is that most of the people who go over the gairis and the batidin, which are made to accommodate people, not made to uphold proper standards in halacha. The ruba of them do not observe the first Shabbos. And there's absolutely no purpose for Klal Yisrael to bring in so-called geirim like this who do not observe Shabbos even the first time. It's a clear under the muchach that whatever they, when they said at the time they gave us the Mekabel mitzvahs, was only what's called, what Ramosha writes in the Shuvah in Yoredei Chelek Aleph, was Mesofu Bechutz, it was just lip service. It was just lip service, and there was no real intent to be Mekabel all the mitzvahs the way it should be. And we don't need such geirim, some so-called geirim in Klal Yisrael.
Sir Nachum, let me ask you a little bit of a different question. I know that the Rabbanut recently rejected the geiris of Rav Gedalia Schwartz and the RCA. Like, these are very Erlicha people. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. I imagine you know him because you hail from Chicago.
Yes, I know him very well. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a very fine person, and I wish him a refuah shleima. And he's not doing so well. If you know, and we should all be mispowered for him for his speedy recovery, if he should have a full recovery. Let me just classify what exactly happened, and you did not report it in the proper way, and you have to understand. Geirus, which was done by Rabbi Schwartz himself, and by his based in Chicago, from the Chicago Rabbinical Council, that's a based in Kavua, it's a very fine based in. There's no questions asked about the geirus, which he does himself. Personally, I know that many, many geirim which underwent the geirus by the CRC in Rabbi Schwartz is based in, they're very fine, upstanding geirim. There's no one ever questioned that. Now, Rabbi Schwartz wore, let's call it in simple English, two hats. He was the Av based in of the Chicago Rabbinical Council, and he was also the Av based in of the Rabbinical Council of America, which was more of a figurehead position. But in that position, which he used to travel to New York once a week or once in 2 weeks to deal with the halachic issues which the RCA had in for their members in New York or for the national office. And it came then, it was a pile of papers on his desk from Garrison, which were done by RCA members, by RCA members. And this goes back many years before the so-called GPS system, which is the based in Kavua system of the RCA, which is set up. And he used to sign a piece of paper with I have tens and hundreds of the papers like this in my documents, in my archion, what's called, in my archives, and we used to more or less sign these pieces of papers. Either people fooled him without properly checking up whether the geirus was done properly or not. The paper says it was done by RCA members, and I checked it up, and the geirus is okay. But he signed it, not more than a rubber stamp. What was being questioned today by the chief rabbinate of Israel is not the garrison which Rabbi Schwartz did personally. Those are fine garrison, and no one ever questions them. It's these ishurim, these certificates which he writes, these letters, to approve garrison which were done not by Bati Din, not by established Bati Din of the RCA, by individual members of the RCA. Now, I have in my files, in my archives, I have many of these documents. And unfortunately, most of them are geirus which were done by private rabbis of the RCA, with not a based in Kavua. And many of these rabbis even had official conservative pulpits. I'm not talking about shuls without mechitzas. I'm not talking about shuls with mixed seating, what's called traditional shuls. I'm talking shuls which belong to temples, let's call it maybe a better word, to the conservative movement. And Baruch Hashem, the RCA is upgrading their standards. And today they do not accept members who have shuls without mechitzas. But in the past, 20, 30, 40 years ago, a large amount of the RCA members had shuls which were not kosher shuls. And many of these geirus were done by such rabbis also, which according to the standards of the rabbinut, these rabbis are doing things which are in violation of halacha, and the geirus is automatically bottle. Now, what does it mean the geirus is automatically bottle? We know that a kosher geirus requires two things. One, that it requires, like we mentioned before, a proper and a real Kabbalah mitzvahs. It's not just a lip service that I want to be, accept all the mitzvahs. And two, it has to be done by kosher beis din. If a conservative beis din of three conservative rabbis would do a geirus, and the person, the geir would be a tzaddik yisoy oylem, and a frumer, and mamish like all Kabbalah mitzvahs, the geirus would be null and void. Because it's a midaraisa of geirus requires a kosher beis din. So the standards of the rabbanut
Rabbi, let me just interrupt you. In other words, even though the Mechaba says that gimel hadyaitis is also good, but they would have to be kosher le'edus, and you're saying that the conservative rabbis, according to Ramesh anyway, are not kosher le'edus. Is that correct?
According to everyone, a conservative rabbi is not kosher le'edus. According to the standards of the rabbanut, a rabbi who has a shul without a proper mechitza and kosher kena mixed eating or a conservative pulpit is not acceptable as a orthodox rabbi according to the standards of the rabbanut.
Yeah, but a hedyet means
he's not a talmud chacham. You look in the Rishash, you look in the, and there's a tshuva from a Moshe which holds that one of the members of Talmud Chacham, the two can be Hadyotim L'Kachira. Rav Yosef is Chilek and that a little bit, but the Yavah for sure it's okay, even if, but Hadyot doesn't mean a person who's not a God-fearing Jew who follows Halacha.
Right.
And that conservative rabbi, according to what you're saying now, is a Hadyot. It should be kosher.
A conservative rabbi would be pasul le'edus. A hedyot is not pasul le'edus. Ramesha pasuled all their kedushin.
A hedyot is a fine of balabas.
Yes. Ramesha pasuled all their kedushin on this basis.
From the conservative.
Correct. Yes, correct.
But not only conservative. If you have an orthodox rabbi, a rabbi calls himself orthodox, and he does things in violation of halacha, he is pasuled to be a dayan and a beis din for geirus. And if we have time, we'll speak about that. That an Orthodox rabbi is not, he calls himself Orthodox, or he's a member of the ICA or a different Orthodox rabbinical organization. He has to be a God-fearing Jew that follows all the precepts of Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
So this should be clarified, because there's people for political reasons taking this Rabbi Schwartz story and taking it out of all proportion. Rabbi Schwartz's geiruses are very, very acceptable. Very fine. I've never found a problem with the geirus, which Rabbi Schwartz did, but with these so-called ishurim, these certificates, these approvals we signed, he signed them k'erif ayin without really looking into it. And what's being questioned is those, not that the rabbinut is not accepting it automatically. It says any geirus which comes as a certificate, and the rabbinut reserves the right that they should look into it also if it was a proper geirus.
So, Rabbi Nachum, did you hear the story that Rabbi Stav said over how the dayan asked her at the end, do you know how to kasher meat? And he said that there was a girl, she was Megayer, and she was in school for 2 years, and the Rabbanut Beis Din asked her all the questions. Then one of the Rabbanim said, how do you kasher meat? And she said, we weren't taught that, but I saw my mother once did it. She went to this store, and she bought a piece of meat, and she saw. So the Rav said, you're a liar. And he said, first of all, why is he asking her how to kasher meat? I mean, 99% of Beis Yaakov girls don't know how to kasher meat. And then he says, he called her a liar, got into a fight. Did she see it or didn't she see it? He says, this is so beyond Ein Medagdikin, Ein Meisifin. It's just being Mitzayer
people. Okay, so first of all, let me tell you, I'm not familiar with the story, but exactly the way you presented it, a story. I don't believe the story. I don't believe the story. The Rabbanim of the Beis Din over here, and I'm in contact with the good Bati Din here in Eretz Yisrael, on a daily basis, I can tell you they'll do whatever possible to find a way to accept a ger or to accept a certificate of a ger to approve it. I mean, things which might not necessarily meet my standards, when they're in contact with me and I serve as an unofficial advisor to the Rabbanut in these matters, and the common personal yeshiva man or somebody will ask me, I will advise these people maybe to do a Gir L'Chumra because I have standards from Rav Yoshev, but for the Rabbanut, I'll give them of my personal opinion to accept Gerim, and they bend themselves over as much as they can to be accept these Gerim. So I believe it's a Baba Maisa. And he should give you the names of the kikis. I will pull out the file. I'll try to pull out the file from the Rabbanut and show you that there's no such thing. But if he does give a name and get me the file, I'll try to get the file myself, then I will definitely deal with the issue.
Okay.
But it's a Baba Maisa until he gives us the name, the Tudat Zehut number, or get the file. I'll try to get the file myself, and he shouldn't tell you these Baba Maisas.
Okay, that's good. So, Rav Nachum, between, let's say, somebody like Tzohar and the Rabbanut or yourself, is it a factual issue? Like, he says most of the Gerim remain from, you're saying 90, is the Machlokes a factual or a Hashkaf or an ideological?
If you call lighting candles on Friday night from, then most of them stay from. From means that you observe Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, I can tell you that in the army geirus it's 99%. Even in what's called the civil geirus in what's called the minhala as a kiyur, which is a special bati din, which the job is to do geirus, rove of them do not have proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs.
So could you define, like, let's say it's a woman from a Freya background, and she will not end up, let's say, covering her hair. Would you consider that a proper Kabbalah's mitzvah?
For the Rabbanut, it's enough.
It is interesting.
For the Rabbanut, a geirus, which would, you know, when you go to the store, you go into the meat department, there'll be 20 different hechsheim. There's glatt kosher, and say there's super glatt and super, super glatt, and then there's kosher, and then there's other standards of kashrus. Now, if you ask me they're kosher, I can tell you everything in the supermarket in the meat department is kosher. However, there's different standards. Someone's makbid on glatt kosher, someone's makbid on beisheisel, someone's makbid on this, someone's makbid, they should know who the shochnim are, etc., etc. So it's definitely, if this is the only problem that she doesn't want to cover her hair, and there's reasons why she doesn't cover her hair, and we don't have to go into the reasons why she'll say she can't cover her hair at this point. It's not important what the reason. She'll give a reason which will be acceptable. I do not believe that a Beis Din will reject the Geiris.
However,
if you ask me, if it comes to my Beis Din, I would not accept such a candidate, because in my Beis Din, we seek the highest standards. But if you ask me whether pastels the gayers or not, it's just like the other food in the meat department, which they're all kosher.
So I'm not going to
again, but this is the condition that she explains the reason why she can't cover her hair.
So, Nachum, if you were a Masada Kedushin, would you be Masada Kedushin somebody who had a Rabbanut Geiris?
I'd have to check out each case in individual basis.
Around a number of years ago, there was a Rav who came out, and he was Mevatel Mafreya, look on a backwards, you know, on a retroactive basis, thousands of Geiris, right? It made a very big tumult in the world. What was your opinion of that? Could you be mevatel? Could you retroactively be mevatel ageiris?
Okay, so let me redefine again exactly what this Rav did. He's a chosh of a Rav. He didn't do anything without consulting Rav Yoshev, and he's retired now. And I have the schus of sitting on him in the basement together with him in some difficult cases, with aguna cases, which we're dealing with now. Now, first of all, I mean, there's no such thing, you're right, as nulling a geiris lemafreya retroactively. There's no such thing. However, there is a thing that the geiris was never chal lechatchila. Lechatchila, it's mizbarit, either the Beis Din was posel, or it's mizbarit, what's there was never proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs. It's not like the Rambam says that if they observed mitzvahs and they were chosel asur, that the harei yikuhudi shachotah, It doesn't go into that category. It goes into the category that it was a mistake. It was a mistake that that either the Beis Din was not serious enough to properly check it up, or a Beis Din can be fooled. The best Beis Din can be fooled. That's a very, very tricky business. But if it was mizvah that the people were never shayim b'tayim and mitzvahs, so it's not that we're annulling the conversion retroactively. We're saying that it was a mistake, and it was never chal. It was never chal. Now the case in which was this Choshev Aravin, we can mention his name because he's talking Choshev Talmud Chacham, going Rabbi Avram Sherman. And what he said was LP what he got from Rav Yoshev, what he heard from Rav Yoshev. I can confirm that I heard this from Rav Yoshev. I don't know how many times to count that I heard it from Rav Yoshev. I was zoicha not many times to go to the Gein of Shmuel Vosner. And one of the times, or the few times I was by Rav Vosner, I asked this Shaila also. He gave me the same answer. I was very decent Karel, it's very few times. But one of the times I went, this Shaila also came up, and also by the Goyin Adir Ramosha Sternbuch, but for all these four daily Yisrael, they all told me the same thing. A Beis Din, which knowingly does Geiris without proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and if a Beis Din can see that 90% of their Geirim do not observe the first Shabbos, and they continue doing Geirus, that means knowingly they're doing Geirus without proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs doesn't mean lip service. It means that we know that they're observing the mitzvahs to the best of their ability. It means we all make mistakes and we all sin, but whatever we know, if they know they have to observe Shabbos. And so this basin is the basin which is puzzle. They do things which are contrary to the halakha. That's what we mentioned before. We mentioned this before. A basin, one of the requirements of a geiris, you have to have a kosher basin, and the basin which beyoidim does geiris without proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and all the stories that they'll tell you that there is, and the Eretz Dvarim B'Telem, let's look at what's going on, the facts. The facts are that they're Mechal Shabbos, most of them the first Shabbos. There's a puzzle based in, and the basis of that, Rabbi Sherman said, that the based in this puzzle, and all these Gerim, these so-called Gerim, if even there was proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs, Al-Pi Halacha, they don't have a din of a Ger. And I second and I support this psak, which is a psak which is based on the four G'dayli Yisrael, which I heard from them myself. So I was zoicha in the last 4 or 5 years.
Sir Nachum, let me just ask you then. So a Beis Din kosher that was Megayer somebody, right? And then 2 weeks later, the person is Shavla Surai, right? So L'chayru, you cannot be mevatel that bezel amafreya, because at the time, you know, it seemed the person had intent, and then they changed their mind.
How do you see the person had intent? First of all, we don't know what he did the next day. We don't know what the person wore the eight nevels and trefers the next day. Shabbos is a thing which is a little easier to find out when you observe the first Shabbos. So let me tell you what I heard from Rav Yoshev also, and it is Alach of Chazaka. You know, we all know chazaka means we put something on its previous status. Every person who comes to do a geirus, what's his chazaka? His chazaka is that he's a goy. Now we want to change the status quo and change him from a goy to become a yid. Now we have a suffolk in the geirus. He was mechalal the first Shabbos. He was mechalal the second Shabbos. Let's say it's the guy who's a tzaddik and he tried observing the first Shabbos. Now it's a suffolk. When he came and said his Kabbalah's mitzvahs, did he really mean it? Why did he was mechalal the second Shabbos? We don't know what he did during the week when he kept kosher or not. But it's a suffolk. It's an umdana. So there's a very strong umdana over here that really was not sincere. So this is what I heard from Rav Yoshev. And what I heard from Rav Yoshev, it's simple. Every cheder boy who starts learning Gemara knows this. So the chazaka was, he's a goy. We want to change this chazaka. It's a suffix now, whether this is a big suffix, whether he was really sincere or not, whether when he said Kabbalah's mitzvahs, whether it was lip service, misavah bebechutz, or he really meant it, and for some reason, something changed after 2 weeks. It's a sophic. So a sophic, we say there's a chazak of a morikama. That's a... I'm speaking to a crowd in America who, I don't know how much the Rabbanut interests them in what's going on over here. Let's talk about some issues which are going on in America. There are certain Bati Din, or certain rabbis in America, which was Mizbar that were doing many, many Geiris. I'm talking specifically about one. If you want to mention the name, I'm sure you know who he is. You can mention the name.
I don't know.
Okay. And we wrote letters already 10 years ago. 10 years ago, the VAD wrote letters. The VAD wrote letters I met personally with the Vader, the local Vader Abanum of the city where this person lives, and I showed them documents that this person is doing Gairus, which is not proper. Now,
is this in Manhattan?
No.
It's
out of the city.
I don't know that.
It's out of the city, but there's other people in Manhattan. Manhattan is a different story. Manhattan is the same story, but we're talking about a person who was watching. Now, afterwards it was Ms. Barrett that this person was doing things which were Chil Hashem. And there's no question about it. It's a Makar going to the Makaris and Alaka. He was doing things which is an Issa Deraisa. He was doing things which in Issa Deraisa, which was Pasel, being a Dayan. This goes back many years. It was Imdin the Muchach, and if you have to have Kabbalah say this, but again, he was doing Geiris, which should not be done. Now, the Rabbanut, when the scandal came out, about a year ago, maybe a little more than a year ago, the Rabbanut said all his Geiris are null and void. This is besides the fact that he was doing Issa Deraisa with the candidates he was doing Geiris on, but we have many cases which I didn't, when we came out against him 10 years ago, we didn't dream of such terrible things, but we had different things in him. He was doing Geiris from out of his area. He was doing Geiris without Kabbalah, proper Kabbalah mitzvahs, et cetera, okay. No one heeded Tara. I can tell you last year before Yom Kippur, some senior members of the ICA called me up to ask me Mechila on this Parsha. But then the ICA went, and they put big pressure on the Rabbanut to be choiser from the Psak. And because of the ICA is a political organization, and the Rabbanut is a political organization, so they weren't choiser for the Ilusa de Beit Din, and they were choiser from the Psak. Now, who were these people in the ICA who put pressure on the Rabbanut? It wasn't the Choshev Rabbanim in the ICA. I spoke to the Choshev Rabbanim. They all felt that all the Geirs should at least be put on a suffix, that we should look into it. We should look into it. And this is what happened. So I think the major issue which we're dealing with, which is today, as far as the Geirs, is not whether Geirs was done properly.
Our engineer saying we're out of time on the radio. Let me just capsule it up. You're saying a sincere Geiris Yomakabel when it's done by bogus Batei Dinim, that 90%, like you say, Amichal Shabbos, you say it's the Bezdin is puzzle. Rabbi Sherman was right. They're puzzle Eidus. The Kedushin is Adchal of these Rabbanim, and therefore you would not be Makabel the Geiris, and say, and essentially never happened lechatchila.
And if they're really the sincere, they're makabel mitzvahs, I would advise they should do a gil lechume. That's the exact same thing we did with this case, which I mentioned before. And we send out a letter to Rabbanim, and and this letter was carefully written, not to hurt anyone. It was written by some experts. The Goyen Reb David Feinstein, before we gave out the letter, I showed him the letter. What Erlich Basin is based on what the Pella Yoyet says, that even a careful Basin who does whatever is necessary to do to make sure or to try to make sure that the candidate is an honest candidate can be fooled. It's a tricky business, and the Pella Yoyet says that a Basin shouldn't be scared off and stop doing Geirs, because some of them Geirs go back to Lasuro. It's a common thing, but the sign of an Erlich Basin is when they they see they made a mistake, when they see they were fooled, they should be strong enough to come up and say that we're sorry, Pashut, we're either freezing the Geirus, we're putting a Sofik on it, or we're being mevatel it l'mafreya.
Well, thank you very much, Agayit Reb Nachum Eisenstein, the head of the Vater Rabboni L'Inyan Geirus, put there by Rebbe Yashiv. Thank you very much for your time and a good Gebenstier.
Okay, Lamar.